All right, we are holding two lines from the bottom of Chof Ches on the Bays. We mentioned that there's 18 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, it says in the Mishnah. We talked about what the 18 correspond to, and then we said actually there's a 19th because they established Birkas HaMinim in Yavne, which is the bracha of Olam HaShinim. Interesting thing, right? I mean,
why didn't you do this bracha in the first place?
Because they didn't need it in the first place. I'm right, that in the time of Ram Gamliel, which we're now going to describe, what happened was the minim started increasing among the Jewish people. Primarily, the minim for that purpose means that it would be Christians, but it means also various other groups that denied parts of Torah Shabbat or Torah Shabbat or whatever, and that were causing a lot of trouble to the Jewish people. So some part of it was that they were mastering on the Jewish people, which is why we say in the bracha of Olam HaShinim, we talk about those who inform on the Jewish people, whatever it is, and I'm right that the bottom line is, Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din realize that this is just as much of a need that the Jewish people have, that we need on an individual and a collective level, as much as any of the other things that we asked for in Shemoneh Esrei, right? And therefore they set up the extra Birkas HaMinim. Interesting point, by the way. I mean,
They always existed,
but then at that time they were beginning to be more of a problem. Anyway, it's an interesting point when you get down to it, since it's called Birkas HaMinim, on the face of it, it should begin Vilaminim. And in fact, in the Alter Rebbe's original Siddur, you have Nuschois that begin the Bracha Laminim or Vilaminim or whatever. In the Alter Rebbe's original Siddur, you have two possible Nuschois. You know how sometimes in the Siddur you have a Nusach and then you have in parenthesis another Nusach? In the Alter Rebbe's original published Siddur, you have Vilamashinim Altihi Sikva V'chol Haminim, the first six words, the way we have it, and then in parenthesis, Nusach Achas Vilaminim Laminim Altihi Sikva. So there existed another
the
reason for the change is a lot of it was probably because of the censors, really. I mean, even in our Gemara over here, it's supposed to be called Birkas HaMinim, and the censors changed it to Birkas HaTzedukim. But that bracha a lot of times was interfered with in different times and different places by the censors. So that's partly the reason why you have different mischoris of it.
Because it's not a problem, but the
meaning. Well, because the censors figured Tzedukim as some ancient group that doesn't exist anymore, whereas Minim they knew good and well refers to them. But yeah. Actually, if you look in the older printed Tilos Hashem Siddurim, you can see, if you look carefully at the words of the bracha, like the words on the print is not quite lined up, and you have the words that are shoved together or whatever, because they literally had to cut and paste pieces of paper in order to reconstruct the bracha the way it was supposed to be, because the censors wouldn't allow them in the original Siddur, that the Tilos Hashem Siddur was a photocopy of, they wouldn't allow them to print it properly. All right, anyway, I'm gone. Shimon HaPkuli. Shimon HaPkuli, Rashi says, is he used to sell bundles of cotton. So that was his job. That was his day job. That was his parnasa. But he also obviously was a great person. So he still Yud Ches Brachos Lifnei Rav Gamliel Al Seida B'Yavne. He set up the order of the 18 brachas in front of Rav Gamliel in their order in Yavne. Meaning, there's a couple of possibilities, what there was exactly before that. We know that the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei have a particular order. And in fact, there's a Gemara in Megillah that explains why they're in the order that they are. But that order is negei l'halacha. If you say them out of order, for example, then it's no good. So what happens? So either the vork is that before the Shimon HaPkuli came by, you had different people were saying them in different orders because they weren't sure of the proper order. So Shimon HaPkuli set them up in the order, in the way we have them, in front of Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel accepted that what he said is correct, and that became the order that we have. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that maybe not everybody was saying all the brachas. Maybe some people are saying only one and not another. So he established the order as we have it, all 18, one after the other. And yet another possibility they talk about is that, you know, you have a basic nusach of the brachas, that's from the Anshe Knesset Gadola, but we have, in fact, we're going to discuss in the Gemara that you're supposed, you know, you can, and to a certain extent you're supposed to, add your own personal requests in Shemoneh Esrei as well for things that you need. So it came time from the Anshe Knesset Gadola, in Shurang Gamil, you're talking 400 or 500 years, the nuschois of the brachas had gotten forgotten. Like, you know, like they had so many additions and whatever and changes that people weren't sure of the original nusach. So once it has to go, is like he reestablished what the original Nusach is. He's Shimon HaPkuli. So he set them up in front of Rav Gamliel. Amalahem Rav Gamliel l'chachamim. So Rav Gamliel said to the chachamim, good, now we have the 18 brachas in order, but we need this 19th one because of the minim, as we're saying. Klum yesh adam sheyedei l'sakin birkas hatzedukim, or haminim, really. Is there anybody over here who knows how to set up a new, who knows how to write a new bracha that we need because of the minim? And the point is, it's not so simple to write another bracha. The original brachas that were established by the Enshek Netzach Dorla, there were Nevi'im among them, all of them were great people, all the Nusach, every word of it is significant, every letter of it, you have in Turin, in fact, and in Turin and in other Sephardim from Mishraim, like the Rekeach, it talks about the significance of the number of words in each bracha and what that corresponds to. So it's not just a simple thing to make up a new bracha. So now we need somebody who's up to the job. Omad Shmuel HaKotan B'tikna. The Shmuel HaKotan established that bracha. Shmuel HaKotan, we know him from Pirkei Avos. Shmuel HaKotan Omer bin Foil Oichal Tismach. His signature line is two psukim from Mishlei, that when your enemy falls, don't be happy, because then Hashem will turn away his anger from him to you. So that's actually one explanation why he was the appropriate one to make this bracha. You're asking that Hashem should defeat and crush and destroy and whatever the minim. You don't want somebody who might have a little bit of personal thing in it. So therefore, you definitely want somebody like Shmuel HaKotan, whose signature line is don't be happy when your enemy falls, because then he's going to be doing it purely the same Shemayim. So the Zach is, you have other Gemaras. You have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions that one time a Basco came out and said that he's worthy, that Nebuah should, that he should be a Novi, except that the generation is not Rory for it. He lived at the end of the second semester and a little bit after it. So he was on a very high level. It even says, actually, why he's called Shmuel HaKotan. One thing is because he was almost as great as the real Shmuel HaNovi. So he's like Shmuel HaKotan. He's like a little smaller than him. Okay, anyway, so he's the one who established the bracha. Continues the Gemara. He lived at the end of the second Mishnah session, maybe a little bit after it. Okay. L'shona acheres shchocha. Then another year, one time, Shmuel HaKotan was davening by the Omud, and he forgot the text of the bracha. And the problem was, apparently nobody else knew it either, because, it was a new thing. People hadn't gotten used to it yet. Bechlal, as we saw in the Mishnah, it wasn't necessarily that everybody said the entire Shemana Esra every day. We had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua said a person only has to daven Me'ein Yurches, Havineinu, as we're going to talk about soon. On a regular basis, Rabbi Yeshua says. We'll talk about it more in the Gemara. But the point is that not necessarily was everybody davening all 18 or 19 brachas of Shemana Esra on a regular basis. So the Olam didn't know, and of course they didn't have written Sidurim yet. And Shmuel HaKotan himself forgot it. The Hishkef Ashtayim V'Sholosh Shoyes, he was thinking into it and considering it for 2 or 3 hours to try and remember the Nusach. And even so, V'loi He'aluhu, they did not take him away from being Chazen. They didn't say, forget about it. He's by the Omid. He's davening by the Omid. Like yeah, I know. It shows the difference between nowadays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, by the way, there's an interesting point in Halacha. There are Achronim who talk about, they say from here, maybe you have a proof that if a person interrupts in the middle of Shemana Esrei and pauses for a long time, maybe he doesn't have to start over again. We talked in the previous perek about the various dinim. When a person makes an interruption in the middle of Shemana Esrei, does he have to start over from the beginning? L'chora here, you see that not. The Pnei Yeshua, on the other hand, says not necessarily, because the fact of the matter is, here he was thinking into the bracha the whole time, so that's a little bit different. It's one thing if he paused for something external to Shemana Esrei. Here he's actually just standing. Okay, the question is, why did they not take him away from being Chazen and replace him? By the way, since the line is, whenever a person davens on the Omud, the expression is always Yored Lifnei HaTeva. He goes down in front of the table. Because in fact, they often had the place where the Chazen stands is lower down in the sense of Mimamakim Krasif Hashem. Therefore, to take him away from being Chazen is called He'alu. So why did they not take him away? So the rule is, if the Chazen makes a mistake in any of the other brachas of Shemana Esrei and leaves it out, for example, ein malinoi, so we don't take him away from being Chazen. Assuming that he's able to get back, in other words, assuming that he's able to remember and remember and then get back to where he was supposed to be, then you don't take him away from being Chazen. You nudge him or whatever, fine, but then he continues. Birkas Hatzdukim Maloi, but on the other hand, if he leaves out Birkas Aminim, if he makes a mistake or leaves out Birkas Aminim, we do take him away, Chayshin and Shem Aminu, because he himself may be a min, and he doesn't want to say this bracha in order not to curse himself. So as soon as Shmuel HaKotan is not saying the bracha, why don't they take him away? One second. The answer is, the Gemara says, Shiny Shmuel HaKotan, the Iur Tikna. Okay, but the answer is, Shmuel HaKotan himself originally made the bracha, so obviously he doesn't mind cursing out the minim, so therefore there's no reason to suspect it here. The problem is, V'nechosh Doma HaDerbe, but first, don't we have to be worried, maybe he changed his mind, maybe after all he became a Rasha. It could happen. One second. Amar Abaya, Gmiri. So Abaya says, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, Tova Lo Habig Bisha. A good person, a tzaddik, does not become a bad person. So the question is, first of all, Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, but first we're going to ask from Pesukim, you're telling me not, you have a pasuk in Yechezkel that describes a scenario where a person has been a tzaddik, and then he changes his mind and becomes a rasha, and then the pasuk says that Hashem is, that the Gemara actually elsewhere explains that we're talking about even here, Toyha al Rishonis. We're talking about not just that he starts doing Averis, but he regrets all the mitzvahs that he did. Why did he even bother doing those mitzvahs? What good did it do? So then the pasuk says Hashem doesn't count any of his mitzvahs in his credit. So we see a tzaddik. Well, in other words, the point is Hashem didn't credit any of his mitzvahs to him because he regretted that he ever did them. Anyway, the point is we see from that pasuk a tzaddik can become a rasha. The answer is ahu rasha mi'ikra. That would be talking about when the pasuk says when the pasuk says reshub tzaddik mikikase returns means he started out as a rasha, then he became a tzaddik. Now he might become a rasha again, but avot tzaddik mi'ikroi loy. But somebody who was a tzaddik to begin with, like Shmuel HaKotan, is not going to become a rasha. So the question is, v'loy, are you telling me not? V'atnan, we learn in the Mishnah in Ovos, al tamen ba'asmacha ad yom moisach, don't believe in yourself until the day you die. And we know the famous thing, shara Yochanan Kohen Gadol shimish b'kohon gdola shmonim shana. We know that Yochanan Kohen Gadol served as Kohen Gadol for 80 years, which of course means that he was a tzaddik, because it means that every year, Yom Kippur, he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he came out, right. And he came out safe, yeah? All of a sudden, not a tzaddiki, and in the end, he became a tzaddiki. Well, how can it be? That's the point. In other words, so a tzaddik can become a rasha. By the way, first of all, you're asking how can it be? First of all, there's two points from the Rebbeim on this. One is the line nasa tzaddiki. I mean, obviously, the surface meaning of it is he became a tzaddiki as in he joined the group or that was founded by tzaddik and baisa. But there's also the word tzaddiki is related to the word tzaddik. So it also means that after 80 years, he started thinking of himself, you know what, look what a tzaddik I am. And that was the beginning of the end. Once a person realizes to himself, that's why it says in Tanya, it brings from the Gemara over there, hey, necha karasha, always consider yourself like a rasha, because you never. And also, then there's also the point, you know, we learned yesterday about Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai crying, I don't know which way they're going to take me, right. And what do you mean, how you talk, and he spent 80 years teaching everybody, and the voice, no, that's the voice. That's the point. In other words, he was concerned, we brought yesterday from what it says in Lakote Torah, that he was concerned that maybe there's deep-seated Ra, maybe his Essen is Ra, and fine, all this time it hasn't come out, but you don't know what's going to be. Here you have the example that Eber points out in the Sikh, actually. Here you have the polar opposite, where Yochanan Kohen Gadol apparently was like that. He had, his Essen was Ra. He somehow managed to suppress it for 80 years, and maybe he himself didn't know of it, but in the end, it came out, and he became a tzaddiki. So therefore, so you see that a tzaddik can become a rasha, even if he was a tzaddik to begin with.
It's always the case that if...
Well, it's not always the case. No, in other words, the point is, so we don't know. L'chora, then the question is, so we're back to the question.
No.
Here we're saying, even if he was a tzaddik me'ikra, even if l'chora, Yochanan Kohen Gadol started out as a tzaddik. There's more Gemaras back there. Yochanan Kohen Gadol started out as a tzaddik. For 80 years, he was Kohen Gadol. That we should consider. It's not that he was a Rasha. Now, the Gemara is going to address that point right now, but one second. If we assume that he was a tzaddik to begin with, then how does it that he becomes a Rasha? So how are we saying that we can trust Shmuel HaKotan that he wasn't a Rasha? What happens to this? Amar Abaya, the Abaya answer is because Hu Yanai Hu Yochanan. You should know that Yanai and Yochanan are the same person. We have a story in the Gemara in Kedushin where Yanai HaMelech was convinced to become a tzaddiki and killed the chachamim. He killed many of the chachamim. It's a whole long story over there how they called his yichus into question. They were claiming that there was a rumor going around that his mother had been taken captive by the goyim, and therefore that she's possible to marry a kohen, and therefore that Yana is a cholol. It's a whole long story over there. But Abaya says that. That's something else. By David HaMelech, it wasn't true. By anyway, the point is, but the point is, Abaya says Yanai and Yochanan are the same person. And we know that Yanai started out as a Rasha. So therefore, Abaya says, no problem. There also, you have it's the same person. So fine, he was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. But before those 80 years, he had been a Rasha. Before those 80 years, he had been a Rasha. Then he became a Tzaddik. And now, so okay, it's possible for him to go bad again. But not necessarily, yeah. A Rava on. Because we know, we have all over the place. Abaya learned from his Rebbeim that Yochanan and Yanai is the same person, and therefore that since we know that Yanai had been a Rosha beforehand, then yeah. on the other hand, Rava Amar, Yanai Lachod V'Yochanan Lachod, Rava says no, Yanai and Yochanan are two different people. What Yanai Rosha Me'ikra V'Yochanan Tzadik Me'ikra, so Yanai started out as a Rosha, and maybe for a while he was good, and then he went bad, but Yochanan, in fact, was a Tzadik to begin with, and served for 80 years. So the question is, Hanichal Abaya, so therefore, so it works out very well according to Abaya, so we can say that, so we can say, according to Abaya, then, there's no problem. A tzaddik me'ikroi never becomes a rasha. Therefore, Shmuel HaKotan having been a tzaddik me'ikroi, there's no concern that now he became a rasha, that he became a min, and that we should take him away because of birchas haminim. But that works according to Abaya. El al Rava Kasha, but according to Rava, you see the example of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who is not the same as Yanai according to him, who started out as tzaddik and yet after 80 years became a Rasha. So why they're not concerned about what Shmuel HaKotan? Amalach Rava, the answer is Rava will tell you like this. Tzaddik me'ikre nami joma hadere. Yes, indeed, a tzaddik me'ikre can indeed change his mind and become a Rasha. So then, Ihochi Amai Loyasku. So the question is, going back to Shmuel HaKotan, why didn't they remove him as Chazan? If he's not saying because I'm in him, maybe he became a min. The answer is shiny. Shmuel HaKotan da Aschuba. The difference is Shmuel HaKotan actually started saying the bracha. When we say Tov because I'm in him, we mean if he left it out altogether, he skips from Melech Oyev Tzadko Mishpat to Alaf Tzadikim. Why is he not saying Volam Alshinim Al Tisit? Well, because he himself is a min and he doesn't want to say that bracha. But here Shmuel HaKotan started it and then he just forgot the rest of it. That's different. The Amr of Yehuda, Amr Rav, he came Rabbi Shor ben Levi, or some say Rabbi Shor ben Levi said, this that we're saying that you remove him as chazan is only if he didn't begin the bracha. But if he began the bracha, so he already started cursing out the minim and the malshinim, and then he just forgot the rest of it, goimra, then we do allow him to finish it. We do allow him to figure out where he's up to and to continue. So that was the case with Shmuel HaKotan over here. Therefore, there's no problem. They didn't have to remove him as chazan.
There's a question, speak about like why.
Why he forgot?
Yeah, for so long, yeah.
I don't know. I saw something actually. I saw a long thing about it in Pesher Agadah actually, but I didn't look in detail what he says about it. I mean, I think I saw something somebody says. I don't remember. That maybe the idea is like now all of a sudden, you know, he feels he forgot it. Like, you know, is it because like maybe the minim are now becoming stronger and he needed extra effort in Shemayim to defeat them, or is it something else? I think that's the gist of what he says. So something like, therefore you have to delve into it for a long time, like to go up into Olam HaSel Yonim or whatever and figure out what's causing them all of a sudden to become stronger now that we can defeat them, that we can defeat them. Yeah. Okay.
If he had said nothing,
then they would have removed him because, yes, according to Rava, a tzaddik me'ikra could become a Rasha, but in this case, he actually started it, so it's not, they knew he's not a Rasha, they realized he had forgotten it. Okay.
You want to say the difference is the gear that he made for that party was changing all the time and he couldn't remember it?
I suppose it's possible, but the fact that we said to begin with that Rav Gamliel asked, implies that he set it up with a particular nusach, and then, well, you know, he's not going to be just changing it willy-nilly. I don't know.
It was never written down.
Well, eventually it was written down, but in those times they weren't yet writing. It was still part of Torah Shabbat. Apparently not. That's the point. Yeah. That's what I was saying before. Apparently at that time, it wasn't necessarily, first of all, it was a new thing. Second of all, not necessarily did everybody daven Shemona Esrei on a regular basis. Most of the time, we see in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua says that a person only has to daven Me'ein Yudches, not the full 18 or 19 brachas of Shemona Esrei. Many people maybe didn't even know that, and they're just yotze with the chazan.
Right.
So yeah, so yeah. Okay.
So she'll
right. Okay, so we asked before in the Gemara why there were 18 brachas in Shemona Esrei, and then how they added a 19th. We had three opinions in the Gemara. One is that there were one we said is that there were 18 times when it says the name Yudke Vavke in Kapitel Chavkes of Tilim, Havel Hashem Bnei Elim. And that capital, the first psukim of it, Havel Hashem Bnei Elim, Havel Hashem Kavod Ba'oz, Havel Hashem Kavod Shmai, are the themes of the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei. That's where we learn the themes of the first three brachas, so therefore that capital has to do with it. We said a second explanation is because it says 18 times Hashem's name in Krishna. And the third one is because there were 18 bones in the human spine.
And the bones come into...
Because the person has to bow in Shemona Esrei. So therefore, he's saying the brachas to correspond to the bones of his spine that he's bowing in front of Hashem. And then we said, So then we said, what does the 19th one correspond to? So we said it corresponds to Kela covered Hirim, or it corresponds to the Echad in Kriyashma, or it corresponds to the little bone in the spine. Okay. So now we have to ask, what about the other Shemoneh Esrei that we say throughout the year? Weekday Shemoneh Esrei is 18 or 19 brachas. But we know there's other Shemoneh Esrei that we say that are other numbers of brachas. So what's about them? Hani Sheva de Shabbos Keneged Mi. When we have a Shemoneh Esrei of seven brachas on Shabbos, what are the seven brachas corresponding to? Amen of Chalakta Ben Shol Keneged Shiva Koyla Cha'ama David Alamoyim. In that same Kapitel Chof Tes, seven times it says the word Koyl. Koyl Hashem Alamoyim, Koyl Hashem Makoyach, Koyl Hashem Bahadur, etc. So seven times it says Koyl, so therefore that corresponds to the seven brachas of Shabbos. What's the vote? What does that have to do with Shabbos? So one explanation, I think, from Tosfos HaRosh is because the Torah was given on Shabbos, but there, and the Torah was given with Koylus. By Koylus of Rokim, Koylus, etc. So therefore, the Koylus that it mentions in that capital are very appropriate to say on Shabbos. Marshall says another vote on it. He says that the 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei were associated with the name Havaya, the 18 times that it says the name Havaya in that capital, because the name Havaya is the name of Rachamim, and that's what we're doing in those 18 brachas. We're asking Hashem for Rachamim. We're asking Hashem for our needs. As opposed to on Shabbos, we're not asking for our needs. So therefore, they can be associated with a louder voice, not the actually necessarily daven louder on Shabbos, but in principle, when you're praising Hashem, you raise your voice. And that's what Shabbos davening is all about. It's about praising Hashem, not about asking for our needs. So therefore, it's associated with the word koil. Okay. Hani Tesha de Rosh Hashanah Kenegan Bi. What about nine brachas that we say in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? What does that correspond to? It corresponds to the nine names of Hashem that Chana mentioned in her tefillah, which is an after of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And what does Chana's tefillah have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Because we learn in a brisa, but Rosh Hashanah nifkada Sora, Rachel, and Chana. Sora and Rachel and Chana were all remembered by Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, and it was determined that they were going to have children after many years of not having children, after many years of being infertile. So therefore, Chana's tefillah has a lot to do with Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, that's why we learn it. We learn the whole story and her tefillah as after of the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
She was the first one that you brought out the name Tzvayis.
That's true, and we're actually going to be talking about that in the next. Chana was the first one who used the name Hashem Tzvakos in Tefillah. Yes, we're actually going to be learning about that on Daf Lamed Aleph, very much Hashgacha Pratis, that we're going to be learning about it. Yes, we're going to be learning about that on Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis. We're going to be analyzing the Tefillah, very much Hashgacha Pratis, that we're learning it right before Yud Shvat, especially because, yeah, this year's Maimer of Yud Shvat talks about that concept, about the Jewish people being called Tzivas Hashem, and about the name Tzvakos. Yes, so we'll discuss it in a couple of days, Tzivas Hashem, yeah.
How do you know the time we remember
on Rosh Hashanah? The bride.
Either
it means that she became pregnant, or it means that Hashem decided on Rosh Hashanah, because Hashem decides everything on Rosh Hashanah, and decided at that point that sometime during that year she's going to become pregnant. I think we have some before we should explain one way, some the other.
How do we know? How do we see such a thing?
Because we learn in a brisa that's what it was, that Rosh Hashanah came. Okay. Hani Estrim Va'arba de Tanisa Keneged Mi. What about on a Tainus Tzibur, we say 24 brachas, because the Mishnah in Tainus mentions, we don't do this nowadays, because we don't have that kind of Tainus Tzibur. This is primarily the Tainus Tzibur that they did for rain, when they didn't have rain, or when they had other troubles and disasters and whatever. And in particular, you really only have that in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Tainus mentions you really don't declare a fast to that extent in Bavel or any place else outside Eretz Yisrael, and you need enough to eat. So in practice, it's not really done. But in principle, you have, in the Mishnayos and Tainus mention it, and you have six extra brachas that are added after Goyel Yisrael, after Re'enov on Yenu. So like this, on a Tainus Tzibur, or the Chazan says Anenu at that point. On a tiny sibur of the kind we're talking about, they would add an extra couple of lines to the bracha Re'enov on Yenu and finish it with a special nusach, and then they would have six more brachas after it. So you have a total of 24 brachas in that day's
Shemana. After what?
After Re'enov on Yenu, after Baruch HaTashem, Gero Yisrael, before Rafa'enu, they would insert six extra brachas. Asking Hashem to help us in the course of Avraham, in the course of Yitzchak, in the course of Yaakov, etc. Okay. I mean, we have, for example, in Slichos, when we with the Slichos that we start, Mishonel Avraham Avinu Bahar Amiria, who Yanenu Mishonel Yitzchak Pinei Chinaga. Some of those are taken from those six brachos. But yeah, okay. Anyway, so altogether you have 24 because you have the regular 18 plus you have six. So what does that correspond to? Kenegami. Omer of Chelboy, Kenegat Chof Dalad, Renonos, Tra'oma Shloimer, Vishal Sheikhness, Oren Levates, Kod Shakadoshim. There were 24 Renonos that Shlomo said in his tefillah when they were bringing in the Oren to the Kodesh HaKodashim. You have Shlomo's tefillah is in Sefer Melachim. You have, it's a long tefillah over there. It runs through about 30 odd sukkim. And 24 times in that tefillah, he mentions the word rina or tefillah or tchina, which are among the various synonyms for davening. You have altogether the Medrash that says there's 10 different words in Tanakh for davening, and among them are rina, tefillah, and tchina. So if you count up the number of them in his tefillah, you have altogether 24 of them.
Does it have nothing to do with that, the Kippur, which come on Sunday?
What? It does actually. Sushar and Mashaychem. Yeah, that was the capital. That was also, he said that at the time. Yeah. So. Well, no, Rina in general means crying out. It can be for praise or it can be for crying out as in trouble. But when he.
You see Rina as crying out?
Yeah, you do, for example, by Yavar or Rina Bamachna. Yeah, you have examples, yeah. You have sometimes where Rina means that. Okay, so anyway, the point is, in his tefillah, he mentions the word rino, or tefillah, or trina, altogether 24 times. Yeah, there is another point. There's a Gemara in Shabbos tells that Shlomo said 24 renonos, and still the gates weren't opening up, and that's why he's saying Shushar and Mershechem, and they're still not opening until he mentions the school of David, and then they open up. So one explanation there also is that he said the first 24, kapitla chaptilim, because that's kapitla chaptala, the filim. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that 24. It is. Yeah, so it is. Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that so he said 24 times, so it's 24 renonos, so therefore we say 24 on a tiny sibling. So the question is, in that case, then why are we restricting it to a tiny? We should be able to say 20, we should be saying 24 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei every day. The answer is, Emes Amrinu Shlomo. After all, when did Shlomo say them? The Yom HaDirachmi. He said it on a day when he needed extra Rachmim from Hashem. It wasn't just a regular day. It was a day when he needed extra Rachmim that the gates should open. So we also say them on a day when we have to ask Hashem especially for Rachmim, which is a tiny sibul, not just any day. Because Rosh Hashanah is not so much a day of Rachmim, it's a day of crowning Hashem as king. There we have 9 brachas, as we say.
Yom Kippur
also. We're asking Hashem to forgive us. It's not quite the same thing. Okay. Fine. So those are the various reasons. So those are the various numbers of brachos that we say in different Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Me'ein Shemoneh Esrei. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel said that a person has to daven the actual Shemoneh Esrei every day, the full 18 or 19 brachos. Rabbi Yeshua said he doesn't have to daven the full thing, just Me'ein Shemoneh Esrei. So my Me'ein Shemoneh Esrei, what do we mean by that? What is Me'ein Shemoneh Esrei? Rav Omer Me'ein Kol Bracha Bracha. The Rav says it means a short version of every bracha. Basically, just the first few words of the bracha and then the chasima of the bracha. For example, and so forth with the other ones. Shmuel says it's not that. It's rather, you have the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei in full, then you have one middle paragraph that includes the themes of all the 12 or 13 middle brachas. Namely, it goes like, and then you have the three brachas at the end. Havineinu Hashem Elokeinu L'Das Terechecha. Hashem, give us understanding to know your ways. That corresponds to Atachonin. U'moilos L'Aveinu L'Yirachecha. Circumcise our hearts to fear you. That corresponds to Hashiveinu. V'sislach Lanu. Forgive us our Aveiras. That corresponds to Slach Lanu. Lios Geulim. That we should be freed. That we should be redeemed. That corresponds to Goel Yisrael. V'rachakeinu Mimach Eveinu. Keep us far away from our pains. That's Rufa'enu. V'dashneinu B'na'ois Artecha. Make us fat in the beautiful places in your land, which corresponds to Baruch Aleinu. Gather our scattered ones from the four corners, that's Kabbash Shofar. Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation means people who go wrong against your will, Yishafetu or Yishaftu or Yishpetu. Rashi says there's two possibilities. One is it means Vatoyim al Daitcha Yishafetu, people who go against your word, Hashem, people who go against what you're saying, they should be judged. So then that would correspond to Melech Ayavdako Mishpat. Or Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers, is Vatoyim al Daitcha Yishpetu, people who judge wrongly. People, Dayanim, who judge wrongly against your will, those who go wrong in judgment, al Dait HaYishpetu, they should learn to judge according to your das, meaning which corresponds, therefore, to Hashiva Shekhtenu. Toyim in that case. So the first explanation, Hatoyim al Dait HaYishpetu, would mean people who go wrong against your das, Yishafetu, may they be judged. that second they deliberately violate Avera, so therefore may they be judged. The second one is those who go wrong and judge wrongly, al daitcha yishpatu, you should make them that they should judge in accordance with your will. So that corresponds more directly to Hashiv Hashem saying, bring back our judges. So therefore, in other words, if you have judges that are judging wrongly, then Hashem make it that they should judge correctly.
Tari
means going wrong, yeah. Yeah. V'alarashoyim tonik yodecha. The test for the test is a different, yeah. Tari means like to go off the path. Tar with the test means to make a mistake. They're related, yeah. Okay. Anyway. V'alarashoyim tonik yodecha. Raise up your hand against the rashoyim. That corresponds to v'lam hashinim. May the tzaddikim be happy. That corresponds to all of the tzaddikim. V'vinyan irecha, and the building of your city. That's for Yerushalayim. Over sikron hechalacha, and the fixing up of your hechal, which also is part of Yerushalayim. Over smichas keren l'David avdecha, the raising of the power of David your servant, which is Estemach. Over arichas ner l'ben Yisha Meshichacha, and the setting up of the candle for Ben Yisha your Mashiach, which is also part of Estemach. Terem nikra atasana, before we even call Hashem, you should answer. That corresponds to Shemei Atzila. And Agoris Agura also adds the line, which is supposed to be, which is when Shulchan Aruch brings this line, Kiyata oina b'cholei sotah b'tzukah, because you answer in all times, Baruch Ata Hashem, Shemei Atzila. So that's Habi Neinu. Well, right. So we say, right. So we don't say Habi Neinu as a whole for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss now. But in principle, in other words, what we're saying is, al pi halacha, a person could say Habi Neinu. According to Rabbi Yeshua, they could say it all the time, but we'll see, we'll be discussing now, there are various caveats on it about when you can say it. Okay. So it means conditions, basically, yeah. Okay. So first of all, layit alo abaya amanda masli Habi Neinu. Abaya would curse out or criticize people who said Habi Neinu. He held that you're not supposed to say Habi Neinu. You don't just mush all the brachas together into one long bracha like that. Say them as 13 separate brachas like you're supposed to. I guess by Abaya's times, more people knew the words of Shimon Esrei. He lived a few hundred years after Ram Gamliel, after Shimon Apkoli, and we set it up after all, so people knew it by that time. So therefore, what are you doing trying to get away with Habi Neinu? Yeah. What are you doing with shortcuts, exactly?
Non-emergency.
Well, so we'll talk about that too, right? So let's first talk about when you're able to say it. When b'chlal, you're not able to say, okay, you know what, we may as well talk about it now, fine. So in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions, in general, therefore, you shouldn't be saying Habi Neinu, but yeah, if it's an emergency situation, for example, you're not going to have the time later on to daven full Shemoneh Esrei, then fine, let's say you're on the road, your Tosfos points out over here that, let's say, in fact, Tosfos brings a girsa over here, actually, that this that we're saying that Abaya criticized people is only when they're in the city. If they're on the road, then yes, they can daven Habi Neinu. In fact, Tosfos was written from the very beginning of Ar Masechta, we have the story of Rabbi Yossi over there going and davening in a ruined building in Yerushalayim, and Elio coming and seeing and meeting him and asks him, why didn't you daven Tefillah Ketzara instead of, and then even you're worried that passers by are going to interrupt you during the full Shemoneh Esrei, so say Habi Neinu. So we see that there's grounds for saying Habi Neinu when there's an emergency situation or like when you're on the road and you don't have time to daven the full Shemoneh Esrei. But otherwise, you should daven the full thing.
That's awesome. I think Rachos,
sometimes Rachos,
or if the worker says, then say it
means Shmuel. That's word, that was our mission. Rabbi Yeshua, MMA, and Yurchet. Omer of Nachman. In Sakona, you have something else that we're going to talk about soon. Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel. During the whole rest of the year, a person could say Habi Neinu, except for Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Tov. Then, even if you're on the road or whatever, you can't say Habi Neinu, because you're supposed to say Apachon Antanu, and you don't have room for it in Habi Neinu. Mask if Rabbi Bar Shmuel, but Rabbi Bar Shmuel asked on that, so what's the problem? The name of Bracha Revius Bifne Asma. So what? What you do is you say it as a separate fourth Bracha, as it is with Habi Neinu, you have to say the first three Brachas as they are, until Akela Kaddish, you say the full Nusach as it is in the Siddur. So then add a fourth Bracha, which includes the theme of Atachan Antanu, and then start Habi Neinu. After all, don't we learn in the next paragraph? We have different opinions about where we say Atachon Antonu. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Bracha Revius Bifnei Asma. That Rabbi Akiva says that you don't say Atachon Antonu as part of the Bracha Atachonin as we do. You say it as a separate fourth Bracha. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, what do? You finish Atachon, you finish Hakeel HaKadosh, then you say a Bracha Atachon Antonu, or words to that effect, that ends with Hamavdo Ben Kodesh Achol, and then you say Atachonin and continue the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi Yezah, Omer Bahaydah, and Rabbi Yezah says you put in Atachon Antonu in the bracha of Moedim. So that we see that Rabbi Akiva holds that you can say Apachan Antonu with a separate bracha. So why can't you do that in Havinenu? So Gemara says, what makes you think that? Otu kol Hashana kula miyavdinin for Rabbi Akiva. What do you think? And the rest of the year, do we follow Rabbi Akiva? When we daven the full Shemana Esrei, we don't follow Rabbi Akiva. Tahasin Havinevin. And that now we should do that. In other words, we don't do that. The fact of the matter is, we don't pass in like Rabbi Akiva to say Apachon Antonin with a separate bracha. We include it in the bracha Apachonin. It doesn't have a chasima of its own. So why all of a sudden now, a person is davening Havinenu, we should have him follow Rabbi Akiva only then? What's the logic? Because after all, you have to think of it like this, Sigmar says. After all, why is it b'chlal that during the rest of the year we don't do like Rabbi Akiva? Because tamni srei tokun, chasri lo tokun. Because the Chachamim made a takana to say 18 brachas, not 19. Okay, once they made takana 19, then fine, 19, not 20. So if you were to add Atachonin as Atachon Antonu as a separate bracha and finish with Hamaldim and Kodesh Lachol, then you'd have an extra bracha in Shemana Esrei, which doesn't belong there. Hochanami Sheva Tokun Twani Lo Tokun. The same way, when the Chachamim made the Takana to say Havinenu, the Takana is you say seven brachas. Three at the beginning, Havinenu, and then three at the end. There's no Takana to say eight. So therefore, you can't be saying that you should say Atachon Antonin. You say the last three at the end. You say Ritzei, and then you say Ritzei, and then Mojim, and then, yeah, from Ritzei on, you say regularly.
Only thing is, we see Moshe Shabbos, we are adding it
now. No, we're adding it as a paragraph within Atachon, and that's the point. We're not adding it as a separate bracha. Rabbi Akiva is saying that what you would do is, you would finish Hakeil HaKodesh, then you would say Atachon Antonu, and finish or Hamavda Ben Kodesh L'Chol, and then you would start, then the next bracha would be Atachonin, and it was the regular Mitzvah, and that would be adding a bracha. But we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva the rest of the year, so there's no reason to do like him when we do Avinenu either. Okay. Maske for Mazutra. Still, Mazutra asks the question. So what's the problem? Still, you're saying, why can't you say, you're saying you can't say Havinenu Motze Shabbos because you have to say Atachon Antonu. But so what? Okay, you can't say it as a separate bracha. V'nichlola miklal. Let's include it. Let's include a phrase for it. Havinenu Hashem Elokeinu Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol. And then continue. L'das Estrochecha, etc. So why do we do that? Okay, so what is Kasha? You're right, that's a Kasha. Now, it's a Kasha. It's not a Tsukta because there is an answer to it. What is the answer to it? Rabbeinu Yonah says the answer is very simple. In Havinenu, we saw there was one line corresponding to each of the brachas. If we added a line corresponding to Atachon Antonu, people would mistakenly think that when we daven full Shemana Esrei, that it should be said as a separate bracha with its own chasima, with Hamavim and Kodesh L'chol. And the fact is, we don't do that. So therefore, we don't want to add an extra line to Havinenu, which then is going to mislead people to thinking that when you're davening full Shemana Esrei, that you say that as a separate bracha of its own.
It's Avdallah. You don't say Avdallah all weeks.
No, that's the point. In other words, that we don't want people to mistakenly think that the next Motzei Shabbos, this Motzei Shabbos, let's say I'm davening Havinenu because I'm on the road. Next Motzei Shabbos, I'm going to be home. But still, he's going to think, okay, last Motzei Shabbos, I added a line for Atachon Antonu, and each line in Havinenu corresponds to one bracha in Shemana Esrei. Therefore, that must mean there must be one bracha over here that's supposed to be the full bracha Atachon Antonu with a chasima, Baruch Atah Hashem Amalteh Ben Kodesh L'Chol. And that would be wrong. We don't do that. We include it within Atachon Antonu. Within Apachonim. Therefore, we don't want to add a line for it in Havinenu in order not to mislead people that it's supposed to be a separate bracha in Shemana Esrei.
I guess there's no Siddurim then, so you couldn't...
You could add no Siddurim then, exactly. There is a verse they say on this, an interesting verse they say on this from Rav Chaim Brisker, that he says by the same token, we know that when it comes to Alamichir, Bracha Main Shalish, we add in there lines for Shabbos or for Yom Tov to correspond to Ritzei or to Yalav Yavai. We don't add in lines there for Hanukkah or Purim. Why not? So one thing is because we don't say them as separate brachas, because it's the same thing. We don't say them as separate brachas in benching. Therefore, we're not going to add lines for them in Alamichir, which is supposed to correspond to the brachas in benching. Lechura, he says, Ritzei and Yalav Yavai, we don't say as separate brachas either. So why are we adding lines for them in Alamichir? He says because there is a case where you say them as a separate bracha. You can find in the Siddur or in a bencher, you can find that they you have. We're going to learn about it in the seventh parak. If a person forgets Ritzei or Yalav Yavai, then they actually, if they remember after burning Barachim of Yerushalayim Amen, before they begin the next bracha, then they actually say a bracha at that point. That includes, give me the Siddur over there, for example, and I'll show you. You have, for example, let's say a person forgot Ritzei. He remembers after he said burning Barachim of Yerushalayim Amen. So what does he do? He actually does say a separate bracha at that point. You have invention over there. You have a whole thing over there, a whole nusa. Baruch Atah Hashem Rishenim Melech Olam Shenosen Shabbosis L'Menucha La'am Yisrael Tzedek. We're going to learn about it in the seventh Tzedek. So there is precedent for Ritzei or Yalav Yavid being said as a separate bracha. Therefore, we add lines for them in Alamichya. As opposed to Alanissim for Chanukah or Purim is never said as a separate bracha. Therefore, you don't add lines for it in Alamichya. So similar to over here, because Atachon Antonu is never supposed to be said as a separate bracha, therefore we don't want to add a line for it in Habineh. Okay. Well, no, we're not on Shabbos. We're talking about on weekdays. But we're saying not Mothe Shabbos or Mothe Yom Tov. Okay. On Mothe Shabbos, you would have to daven full Shemoneh Esrei.
And on Shabbos also?
On Shabbos, obviously. On Shabbos, you're not on the road. On Shabbos, you're not seeing it. Whatever. Okay.
No, the whole
Nusach
in general.
Yes. The whole Nusach corresponds to the middle Brach. Okay. Amar of Bevoi Barabaya. Again, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the Shalach Bader says, everybody always says Rabbi Barabaya, but really it's supposed to be Rabbevoi, he says. Bevoi is a name that you find in Tanakh. Anyway, okay, so Rabbi or Rabbevoi, whatever Barabaya says. Kol Ashana Kula Misfala Onam Habinenu. The whole year round, a person could daven Habinenu. Chutzmi Moisag Shom, except during the winter. We quoted Rav Nachman on the Shmuel that saying you can't say it Matzah Shabbos. So there are Mefarshim who learn that yes, they are arguing. He says maybe you could say it Matzah Shabbos, you just can't say it during the winter. The halacha actually is like both of them. You can't say Avinenu on Matzah Shabbos or during the winter. So you can say the only times you could say Avinenu would be during the summer on a weekday other than a weekday or weeknight other than Matzah Shabbos. Why not on the winter? Because except for the winter, because you have to say the same halamoser, and you don't have it in this nusach. Again, Mazutra asks the same question as he asked on Atachon Antonu. Why don't we include a line for it? The same halamoser. So instead of just saying kasha like it did before, the Gemara says here we have an answer. If you do that, then you're going to get confused. You're used to a certain nusach of Habinenu. If you have to half the year, you have to add in a certain line, you're going to get confused. So the question is, Yehochi Abdullah B'chon Adas Nami Osele Turi. So we should say the same thing. When Mazdutra asked, why don't we say Hamavdu Ben Kodesh L'chol and Habinenu, and we left it with Kasha, and we had to have a Rishonim give us an answer, why didn't the Gemara itself give the answer? Because Osele Turi, because you're going to get confused. Amri, the answer is... Not Turi means to get confused. The answer is distraction. The answer is Amri. They answered like this: Hosham, when it comes to Atachonin and Atachon Antonu, Kibin Da'asi B'Tchilas Tzloisa, since it's only at the beginning of the Nusach of Habinenu, Loi Matur. It's not gonna confuse him if he adds a couple of extra words in at the beginning. So therefore, that's why we left it as a kasha. Why can't he add those extra words that wouldn't confuse him? Hacha kivin da'asi be'emtzah tzlusa, but here it's in the middle of this long bracha of Habinenu, also mitrid, he may get confused. So therefore, that's reason not to include it. Okay. Maski for Ravashi, however, Ravashi still asks the question, the name of a Shemei Apsila, so why don't we say it as part of Shemei Apsila, as it is, you're ending with Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Apsila. So at that point, right before Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Apsila, there you can add the same Talamot.
That's what someone else adds
The Amr of Tanchum, Amr of Abasi, here are the rules. If a person forgets during the winter and does not say Mashi V'ruach Amor Dageshem in the bracha of Tchiyat HaMesim, Machzirino, he said, then he has to go back. And if he doesn't remember by the end of the bracha, then he has to start Shemoneh Esrei over. The rule, by the way, is, for this purpose, the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei are considered one unit. So if a person makes a mistake anywhere in the first three brachas, they have to start over. That's why we also have a person who forgets a Melech HaKadosh, for example, why they have to start over. Same idea. So here, he forgets, so he has to go back, yeah?
That's in case he didn't say Tal.
If he didn't say Tal, then that's not massive. In fact, in Nusach Ashkenaz, they don't say Tal at all. In Nusach Sfarad and in Nusach Harizal, and in Nusach Hari, we say Merida Tol during the summer, but that's not massive.
And if it's proof that he don't say Tal, because had he said Tal, he wouldn't...
No, the fact is, it doesn't matter. I mean, the fact is you're not obligated off the halacha to say tal, the nusach, in some nuschois, it is that you do say it. Okay. Anyway.
Talamotar
is different. That's the thing. during the winter, during the rainy season, you have to mention Gurus Geshamim. You have to praise Hashem in the Bracha Machayim Eitzim for making it rain. We have to say Masha Baruch Merda Geshem, as opposed to Merda Tol is optional. And similarly, in the Bracha Baruch Aleinu, we have to say the same Talamasa.
Why is it optional during the summer when you need rain so much?
Because you don't need rain in Eretz Yisrael or in places like that. Listen, pay attention. In those parts of the world, in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, and similar parts. Can I finish a sentence, please? In those places in the world, they call it that they have a Mediterranean climate. In those places, rain during the spring or summer is a bad thing. It makes the crops that are in the fields rot. And whatever, yeah, their rainy season is strictly during the fall and the winter. Rain during the summer, during the spring and the summer, there is a sin and koala. So yes, you don't, because it is, because it causes problems for the crops and whatever. That's how it is. In those places, it's not an expected thing and nobody's prepared for it and the crops will rot and whatever.
That's from
Nissen through Elul, let's say, roughly. So yeah, and you have other places in the world like that. Eretz Yisrael is like that. We'll have those parts of California have a climate like that also. Whatever, there's different places in the world that have, it's called a Mediterranean climate.
Might even learn some tomorrow.
What? In the Sefer Tainus they talk about it. For example, you have, even if there was a drought the entire winter, it says that after Nissan, Yotza Nissan, then you don't fast for rain anymore. Even the Yechidim don't fast for rain anymore, because at that point, if rain comes, it's Simen Klala. Yeah. So davening for rain. The point is that only during parts of the year, now it's Yisrael and Babel and such places, is rain good for them. Other parts of the year, it's not good for them. Therefore, during the winter season, during the fall and the winter, from after Sukkot until Pesach, or from December until Pesach, as the case may be, we daven for rain. Outside of that, we don't have to daven during the rest of the year for dew, because the Gemara explains in Tainus, dew never stops anyway. You always have dew, always comes. And therefore, yeah. So the point is, again, let's focus on the Gemara over here. Okay, so the point is that the Amr of Tanchum Amr of Asi, Tavle Hiskur Gurus Geshamim B'Tchias HaMesim, if a person mistakenly did not mention Gurus Geshamim, Masha Baruch HaModa Geshem, in the Bracha of Tchias HaMesim, Machzirin, so we make him go back and start Shemana Esrei over. That is if you didn't remember it before the end of the Bracha, by the way. If you remembered it before he said Hashem's name in the Bracha, then he can go back there. On the other hand, continues Rav Tanchum, if he forgot to say She'elah, if he forgot to say the same Talamotar in Baruch Aleinu, in Machzirino, he said, we don't make him go back, because he still has the option of saying it in the Bracha Shemei Atzilah, where we can add any request that we need of Hashem. And similarly, similarly, if a person doesn't say in the bracha chonin adas, we don't make him go back, because he's still able to say havdalah arakot. And so there he'll be saying this, which, by the way, you have in Shulchan Aruch that it mentions, if a person is in a situation where he does not have wine for havdalah tonight, and he knows he's not going to have any tomorrow morning either, then if he forgets atachon antonu, he does have to go back. Because then there's no option that he's still going to be saying at a la coast. So the point is, though, we see that if a person misses the same Talamato in Baruch Aleinu, we don't make him go all the way back to Baruch Aleinu. He can just say it in Shemei Atzilah. So by the same token, when a person is saying Havinenu, why can't he, right before he says Baruch HaTashem Shemei Atzilah, add it in there the same Talamato? The answer is tall shiny. It's one thing if a person makes a mistake, we can allow him to say the same Talamata there. But to say that Lachachila, he should be able to say it there, that we're not going to do. So therefore, we can't allow him to say Havinenu during the winter. Again, we can't allow him to say this. He can't skip the same Talamata altogether, because he has to say it. It's an essential part of Shemana Esrei. He can't say it in the middle, because then it's going to get him mixed up on the Musaf. And he can't say it at the end, because that's only when there's no other alternative. That's only when he forgot. Okay. Gufa. Now getting back into that halacha, let's analyze that halacha a little bit. Amr of Tanchum, Amr of Asi. Tov lehisu gurus gesham v'tchiyat ha-mesim. We said a person forgot and did not say Masha Baruch HaMor Dageshem in the bracha of tchiyat ha-mesim. Machzirinu. So we make him go back and he has to start Shemana Esrei over again. She'ela b'bechaz ha-shonim ein machzirinu. So we said if he forgets the same Talamotar in Baruch Aleinu, we also don't make him go back. Because he can say it in Shemana Esrei. The Havdalah B'chon and Adas, and Rav Tanchum said a third thing, if he forgets Havdalah, if he forgets Atachon Antonim, in Atachon Antonim, we don't make him go back, because he's still able to say it over a kois at home. So far so good. But the Gemara says, Nasi, I have a contradiction. A Brisa says it differently. If you forget, fine, that part's still the same. But the Brisa says, if you forget the same Talamotar, which is asking Hashem to reign in Birkas Hashanim, we do make him go back to Baruch Halim. Yeah, it's a contradiction. And then, okay, the Brisa says, Havdalah, if he forgets, he doesn't have to go back and say, because he's going to say it on a cut. But we have a contradiction. We have a contradiction about the same Talamotah. Does he have to go back to Baruch Aleinu or not? The answer is, Loikasha Habi Yochid Habi Tzibur. One's talking about a Yochid who's davening by himself, but that's what the Brisa is talking about. He will have to go back, as opposed to when he's davening with a Tzibur, So the question is, why is that? They're different. The Tzibur, my time alloy, what are you telling me why he would not have to say it over if he was the Tzibur? Mishim b'shomah m'shleach Tzibur. But Pashtus, the reason is because he's going to hear Chazorat Hashach from the Chazan. Ihochi hayim t'nei sheyochel lo'omer b'shem e'afila. Then why did Rav Tanchum use the expression that he doesn't have to go back because he can say it in Shem e'afila? It should be m'pnei sheshemeach m'shleach Tzibur m'loy lo'y. He should have said because he's going to hear it from the Chazan. No. El aydi v'aydi v'yochel. So it can't be that. So it must be there's a different distinction. Both of them are talking about a yochid. Both of them are talking about an individual person davening Shemoneh Esrei. So whether he's the yochid or whether he's the tzibur, v'leikasher, it's not a contradiction. Hod the idka kodesh Shemoneh Esrei. One is where he remembered before Shemoneh Esrei. Then he doesn't have to go back. He can say it in Shemoneh Esrei. Before Baruch Atah Hashem Shemoneh Esrei, he says the same talamotah. As opposed to if he remembers that after Shemei Atzila, then he has to go, then he doesn't have to start over Shemoneh Esrei, but he does have to go all the way back to Baruch Aleinu. And that's how we have it in the Siddur. You have in the Siddur, before Baruch Aleinu, you have a long paragraph over there, which is a quotation from the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch about what you do. Actually, there is one more thing he says, that Alter Rebbe says, similar to what we're going to have soon, as far as Yalav Yavoy, that if you remember it right after you said Shemei Atzila, before you began Ritzei, then fine, you can say it at that point. It's still considered to be in the bracha. Only if you began the next bracha, Ritzei, then you would have to go back to Baruch Aleinu.
So you just, if you, let's say, you said Shemei Atzila, you better do your same.
Then you right away, then you remember then you can say the same Talamot, right?
Just those words, right.
Then you have to go back to Baruch Aleinu. And Tosfos adds over here, and this is also in Shulchan Aruch, if you got to the point where you're stepping back at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, or where you got to the second Yule Rosen, as we're going to get to soon, then you have to start Shemoneh Esrei over. So the rule basically is like this. Again, with Mashiv Aruch Moda Geshem, it's fairly straightforward. You remember it before you say Hashem in Mechaya Amesim, then you can go back. Otherwise, you have to start Shemoneh Esrei over. With the same Talamotar, if you remember it. By the end of Baruch Aleinu, then good. You say it over there. Otherwise you say it in Shemei Atzila. If you remember it after you start Tzav HaShofar, you say it in Shemei. You say it before Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atzila. You didn't say it before that. You can say it right after that, before you began to say. You started with say. You got to go back to Baruch Aleinu. You got to the second Yule Lotan. You got to the second Yule Lotan, and then you realize you forgot. Then you got to start Shemei Atzila over. Okay, more in that connection. Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Asi, Omer of Shimon Levi. Tov lehizkil sheresh chodesh ba'avoda. If a person forgot and did not mention Yalav Yavoy in the bracha of Ritzei, which is the bracha of Avoda, because it begins Ritzei Hashem lekedem ba'am chesov v'hashiv ha'avoda l'driv etecha. So the theme of it is the Avoda. So that's what it's called the bracha of Avodah. So that's where you say Yalav Yavoy. So if a person forgot and did not say Yalav Yavoy on Rosh Chodesh during that bracha of Avodah, Chodesh la'Avodah, then he has to go back to Ritzei. Nizka b'hoi. No, any time. The one exception, well, actually, now that you mention it, by night, it does say in Shulchan Aruch that based on Gemara someplace else, I think in Erevin or something, that says that by night, Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to go back because you can't be Mekadosh the Chodesh at night. But by day, or Chalamoyed, when he's saying Yalav Yavoy, then you would have to go back regardless. So if you didn't remember, then you'd have to go back to Ritzei. Actually, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is, again, that similar to what we were just saying about Baruch Aleinu, if you remembered right after you finished Hamachzeh Shchinasa L'Tzion, but before Modim, before you started saying Modim, then yes, you can say Yalav Yavi there. You don't have to say your say over again.
And on Shabbat, if you didn't say Shachris, then you're going to say Musaf.
What does one have to do with the other? We're talking, let's focus over here. We're dealing with a person saying Shemana Esrei, whether a weekday Shemana Esrei or Shabbat's one, he forgot to say Yalav Yavi. Musaf is another matter. Yeah. Let's not confuse.
No, if he didn't say during Shachris on Shabbat, does he have to repeat it knowing that he's going to say it?
Yeah, because Musaf is a separate tefillah. Musaf is a whole separate thing. The truth is, Tosfos does bring over here from the halacha of Gedolos that if you're in the, that if you're with the Tzibur, then you could, you may not have to say it over again. You could be Yotze by listening to the Chazan. However, you would have to listen to every single word and every single letter to the, from the Chazan. Practically speaking, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's hard to do that, and therefore don't be soimach on that just davening over again. That's also true. You can't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai because then it would be that's a good point. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so he forgot it during Rasei, so if he doesn't remember it, then he has to say Rasei over again. Nizka Bahuda, if he remembers it after he started the Bracha Moedim, Chozol Avoda, then he also has to go back and start Rasei over again. The Sim Shalom Chozol Avoda, and if he remembers it during the Bracha Sim Shalom, he also has to go back to Rasei and say Rasei and Yalav Yavi. The Imsiim, and if he finished Shemana Esrei, Chozol Rosh, then he has to daven over again. Amr of Papa Breder of Achabada, Haja Amoran Siyam Chozel Rosh, this that was saying that if he finished Shemana Esrei, he has to start over. Loy Amoran Elisha Ocher Raglov. That would only be if he stepped out at the end of Shemana Esrei. Ava Loy Ocher Raglov, but if he did not yet step out, Chozel Avodah, then he's still able to return and just say Rasei and Yalav Yavar over again. Amrlay, so they at Amrlay.
Well,
that's what we're going to talk about Tachnunim in a second. Hold on. Keep in mind, the basic din of Shemana Esrei is just you finish Hamavarach HaSama Yisrael Vashalem and immediately you step back. The whole concept, or you say Yehu L'Rotzen, rather, you learned in the first parak. You say Yehu L'Rotzen and then immediately you step back. The whole concept that we say of a Kain Esur, we learned in the second parak, we learned a bunch of Tanoim and Amiroyim, their various personal trillos that they would say at the end of Shemana Esrei. This one was Ma'av Reza Ravinas, and that became the standard one that we all say. That's Tachnunim, that's something else. Okay. Omrulay, so they asked him, Menolacha, where do you get this concept that there's a difference whether he stepped out or not? Omrulay, so he says, May Abba Mori Shmieli, so the Papa says, I heard it from my father, but Abba Mori Mayav, and my father, Rav Achabar Adar, heard it from Rav. Okay. Omer of Nachmeitz, Chodam Moran Ocher Ragel Chozel Rosh. Now this that was saying that once he stepped out from Shemana Esrei, then he has to start over again if he missed the Alavi Avoy. Loyam Moran Ela She'ena Rogel Loyma Tachnunim Achat Tzilosei. This is only if he doesn't usually say Tachnunim. If he just says Yulerotin and then right away steps out. Avol Rogel Loyma Tachnunim Achat Tzilosei. But if he regularly says Tachnunim, for example, of the kind of sir, after his tefillah, Chozel Avodah, then even doing that, he could still go back to the thing. Ikadamri, another version, hold on, Omen of Nachweitz, Hodamoran Ki Loy Ocher Raglav Chozel Avodah, the other way around, that was saying that if he didn't step back, then he's still able to return to the say, Loy Amoran Elisha Rogel Loyma Tachnunim Achat Tzilosei. That is only if he usually says more Tachnunim after his tefillah. Avon Eine Rogel Loyma Tachnunim Achat Tzilosei, but if he doesn't usually say Tachnunim after his tefillah, Chozel Rosh, even though he did not step back yet, it's still considered as though he stepped back, because at this point he's been Masiach Das, that he's not going to be saying anything more.
So, one second.
So what's the halacha? The halacha is the Tosfos brings over here that the Rish and after him all the other Poskim passed him like the second version over here. So therefore the result of it is like this. Now we say Yulerotin twice, right? We say Yulerotin, then we say Lekain Esur, and then we say Yulerotin again at the end. Once you reach the second Yulerotin, and we learned actually before, we learned in the second paragraph when we talked about these Tachnunim that the various Amiroim said, why indeed we do that? We said Ma'abrei Ravina said that at the end of his, and it's not so clear whether the other ones also said said it at the end of theirs, and on the other hand, maybe we should say it before that, because that's the end of Shemana Esrei, and therefore we say it twice to be on the safe side. Once a person said the second Yulerotin, even though he did not step back yet, that's already considered that he ended Shemana Esrei. At that point, if he realizes he didn't say Yalav Yavai, he has to start all over again. But as long as he hasn't said the second year of the Dothan, then he's still able to go back to the same.
That's the
halacha. So even though, so in other words, it's not a matter just of stepping back, it's a matter of when he's decided that he's finished his Shemana Esrei. So for us, that means when we said the second year of the Dothan, at that point, there's nothing more Shemana Esrei that we're saying. Oh, it's a Shalom, it's not part of Shemana Esrei anymore.
So he could have stepped back.
So even though he had not stepped back yet, the fact that he said the second Yul HaRotzon means already that he's finished Tachnunim, he's finished Shemana Esrei, he's finished everything, and therefore, if he now realizes he forgot Yal HaRotzon, then he has to start over. But if he didn't, well, you don't, practically speaking, we don't. I mean, well, but the same thing, then then he would also.
When we're speaking about HaRotzon, when you say the first, after the first HaRotzon, you could say,
then you can answer to Kedusha and Kaddish.
Or even,
no, not all. Then it has basically the same din at that point as during the brachas before Shema. In the newer Siddurim, which one doesn't have it, but in the newer Siddurim where you have that table in the back that shows, basically the Baruch, Kaddish, Baruch, and Yimlas, for example, yeah.
And I
read
it. Right.
Don't even say Kaddish. There's a machlokes whether you say Yimlas or not. Everybody agrees to say Kaddish and Baruch. The question is whether Yimlas. The Alter Rebbe paskins that Yimlas is part of, is an essential Baruch Kedusha, yeah. Okay, so those are the dinim in a nutshell about when a person forgets something in Shemona Esrei, when they need to go back and when not. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, we said if a person makes his tefillah keva, then it's not tachanunim. So what does that mean? My keva, what does that mean? That he makes his tefillah fixed. Amar of Yaakov Ba'idi, Amar of Oshia, if he treats the tefillah like a burden, like he just wants to get it over with, and then be yotze. So that's not right, because tefillah is supposed to be tachnunim. It's supposed to be like you're pleading with Hashem.
What about people coming in 2 minutes? I mean,
okay, so that's part of it.
You have to learn.
The Rabbanon learn differently. They say kol mishena omer b'loshen tachnunim. It means somebody who does not say Shemona Esrei with an expression of tachnunim. Meaning, in other words, so first of all, I mean, obviously, you know, so one of the Mephoshim, on Ein Yaakov, Eitz Yosef, points out, it's not even necessarily saying different words, you're saying the same words, but you can say the same words with a different tone of voice. We all know, there's a way of saying something where you're asking, and there's a way that you're saying that you're demanding. You know, your kids can say the same thing to you, you know, I want a lollipop versus, you know, I want a lollipop, you know, right? So, yeah.
It's a subjective thing. In other words, the person who spoke would know.
Yeah. So actually, Mephoshim points out, Rabbeinu Yonah points out that the two opinions of a year, each one is like kind of adding and subtracting from the other one. The first one is saying that you're making it keva. Now you could have, he may be saying it with an expression of tachanunim, but he's still acting like it's a burden and he wants it over with. And vice versa, you could have somebody who feels like I really do need to daven, but he doesn't say b'loshen tachanunim. So each one is a different aspect than the other one. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, a pasuk like both of them, you're not supposed to daven like it's a burden and you want it over with, and you're also supposed to be saying it b'loshen tachanunim like you're a poor person coming to beg by the door or something. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both say that Rabbi Eliezer means a third thing. A person is making his tefillah keva if he's not able to concentrate and be able to think about what he needs and be able to add something new to it. So keva, meaning it was the same exact word as he's saying every day. He can't think of anything. He can't say. He can't concentrate enough to say something that is something particular that he needs to ask.
Now, the knowledge is that's the majority already.
Yeah.
It's because it's a request or it could be a
shvach to a shvach. A request, but I don't know. Maybe it could be an extra shvach. I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
What do you mean by
shvach? It means, in other words, that ideally, for the proper thing, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are saying, for example, every day, you're davening the 13 middle brachos of Shemona Esrei. Each one of them is asking for something personal or something on a personal level or something on a national level that you need. So they're saying, what Rabbi Eliezer is telling you, is every day you should be able to come up with something particular that you're asking Hashem for. One day, for example, you say in the bracha Rafa'enu, and you have somebody sick at home, Chas V'Shalom, so you should be able to concentrate and add, you know what, you're not just rushing through the words, you're actually focusing on what they mean, and you're asking Hashem to bring a Rafa Shleima to Pliny Ben Pliny. And another day, you're having trouble with Parnosa, and you ask for it in Birkas Hashanim, and so forth. You should always be able to come up with something new that you have to ask Hashem for on a personal level. That has to do with the bracha. And if it's something that doesn't have to do with any of the particular brachas, then you put it in the Shemei Tefillah. Omer Abzera, I know Yechilnu B'chadushi B'milsa. So Abzera says, on the other hand, you have, for example, I am capable of adding something new every day in Shemona Esrei, because he obviously concentrated on his davening. Well, Mr. Pina, but I'm afraid to do that, Dilma Matridna, because I may get distracted and I may forget the Nusach. Because again, remember, they didn't have the Siddurim written down. So if he adds in something new, then he may forget the actual wording. Abaya bar Ovin, Rav Chanina bar Ovin, the Amit Abayu, Abaya bar Ovin and Rav Chanina bar Ovin both say a fourth explanation of what Rav Eliezer means by Oisa Tfilas Akeva. Again, the first explanation is like a burden. He's glad to be finished with it. The second one, he doesn't say it Belosh and Tachan Runim. He says it like demanding. The third one is that he can't add anything new to it. Now comes the fourth one. They're saying, Kol She'en Mesal Im Dim Dumei Chama, when the person does not daven Shemana Esrei by the time of Dim Dumei Chama. Dimdume Chama means basically the time when Dimdume Chama, there's two of them, in the morning and in the evening. So it means in the morning, it means when the sun is first rising, when it's red in the sky, and in the evening when the sun is about to set. So those are the real ideal times to be davening Shemana Esrei. So therefore, Rashi says that's what it means. It's also keva. Like you just, okay, it's a fixed thing. I got to be yotze. I don't care to do it at the best possible time when it's an Esrei thing. The ideal time of davening Shemana Esrei is at the time of Dimdume Chama. Meaning Rashi says that you say the broch, you say Shachris at the time of Netzach Chama, and you say Mincha as the sun is setting. On the Omer of Zera Maikra, Rav Zera says, what's the pasuk that expresses that idea? Pasuk and Tilim, Yiro'ucha im Shomesh, they should fear you with the sun, meaning Shachris that you daven as the sun is coming up. Rashi actually uses the expression yotzer. I'm not sure whether Rashi means yotzer as in the bracha yotzer, or whether he means shachwis. You often find that shachwis is nicknamed yotzer. You have in the machzorim for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, for example, they have yotzer the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, anyway. And before the moon, meaning right before the moon comes up, which is as the sun is setting, for generations upon generations. So we see that those are the ideal times to daven. On the other hand, the Gemara says, on the other hand, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they criticize and post out Amanda Masli in Dumdumei Chama. When it comes to Mincha, somebody who waits all the way till Dumdumei Chama as the sun is setting to daven, my time, why is that? Dilma Mitrifala Leishaita, because then some kind of oiness might happen or something, and then he's going to miss the time of davening altogether. So you want to daven shachwis at Dimdumei Chama, by all means, that's davening kevasikin, but to daven mincha as the sun is setting is not such a good idea.
Well, you're still waiting with a certain, you're there anyhow.
Yeah, you're fine, okay.
But it implied that you're davening only when the sun sets and the sun rises. Are you davening for the sun? I mean,
no, Chas v'Shalom, of course not. But no, no.
No, of course not.
No, so that's, no. So no, they're not criticizing because of that. They're criticizing only by Mincha, because then you may miss it altogether. Actually, Ben Yoyada says an interesting verse on it. There's a Gemara someplace else, I don't remember now where, that says that why is it red when the sun is rising in the morning and red when the sky is setting, when the sun is setting at night? So the Gemara mentions because you have, because in the morning, it's reflecting off the roses in Gan Eden, and in the evening, it's reflecting off the fires of Gehenna. So therefore, the Ben Yehoyada says a verse on it, that therefore, when you're davening at those times, like you have an extra connection with Hashem, you remember, when you want to be close to Hashem and be Zoycha to Gan Eden, and you want to not be far from Hashem and wind up in Gehenna. So therefore, those are ideal times. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua Omar Mahalach Makom Sakana, Rabbi Yeshua said if a person is traveling in a dangerous area, Mispalo Tfilah Ketana V'chula, then he davens a short tefillah, and he quotes the tefillah in the Mishnah. He says, Hosha Hashem Es Amcha Asher Yisrael, Hashem save your people, the remnant of the Jewish people, V'chol Parshas Ha'ibur Yiyutzor Chayam L'chanecha. At all Parshas Ha'ibur, their needs should be before you. So what is Parshas Ha'ibur? My Parshas Ha'ibur. It means like this, even at a time when you, Hashem, are full of anger against them, like a pregnant woman, even at such times, all their needs should be before you, Hashem. So in other words, the idea is, Parsha Se'ibur means basically whatever possible way that you could explain the word Ibur, whether you're relating it to the word Ibur as in pregnant or the word Ebra as in angry, no matter how you explain the word, either way, Hashem, remember, even at such times, Tav Rachmanus on the Jewish people. In fact, the Ritva says, why do you use such a strange expression, the whole Parsha Se'ibur? Because we don't want, in such a tefillah, we don't want to explicitly talk about Hashem being angry. So we use an expression, like an expression that takes some explaining and whatever, that we need to understand that it's talking. One idea is, a couple of them, Mephoroshim explains, as well as it's also brought in a few places in my Morech Siddur, that golus is like pregnancy. We have in many psukim that use the metaphor of a birth for Mashiach coming, for example, in the Haftarah of Shabbos and Shodesh. So therefore we're saying, even when we're still in the pregnancy and doing golus, even then Hashem should still keep our needs in front of him and help us out.
The general meaning of Ibur in this sense
is that it has two meanings. We're saying it means anger and it means pregnancy. Ikadamri, another version, Amr of Chista Amamalka, Afila Bashar Shem Oivrim al Divrei Torah, even when the Jewish people are being over, are violating the words of the Torah, even then you called Sechem Lefanecha, all their needs should still be before you. That's Parashas Eber. Okay. We learn in a Braisa, more opinions on the subject. Hamahalach B'mokim G'dudei Chayev Alistim. If a person is traveling in a place where there are bands of wild animals or of robbers, Mispalot Tfilah Ktara, in a place like that, he davens a short tefillah. The Ezohi Tfilah Ktara, what is this Tfilah Ktara? What is the Nusach of it? So a few opinions. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Asei Ratzoncha B'Shamayim Imal, do your will, we ask Hashem, in Shamayim up above, meaning Rashi says, up in Shamayim, nobody does Averis. So do what your will gets accomplished in Shamayim, as you wish. The same nachas ruach liyureecha mitachas, and then down here on earth, those who fear you should have nachas ruach, should have a pleasure of spirit. In other words, that they shouldn't have to get confused and distracted by, for example, the wild animals and the bandits over here. Marsha explains a little bit differently. What it means is you have your Ratzon in Shemayim that goes in general on all people in the world. However, Hashem, please keep in mind that there are also Yireecha. There are specific people who fear you, Hashem, and deserve a special Ashgacha Pratis beyond what you have decided for everybody else. V'atoy be'enecha aseh, and do what's good in your eyes. Which one meaning of it is, in other words, that we're saying that even if Hashem has to punish us, Rashi brings from a pasuk and say for Shoftim that if the Jewish people have to be punished, let it be directly by Hashem rather than, for example, that so to speak, like he delegates it to the goyim or whatever, because they tend to go overboard. Exactly. Another explanation of Atoy Beinach Asay also means that Hashem knows what's best. So in other words, not necessarily do we know the right things to ask for. Sometimes things that we ask for are not really the best things for us. But Hashem, you do what you know is best for us. And you finish off, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemeh Tefillah. Blessed are you, Hashem, who hears Tefillah.
I think we infer by saying it, that if we didn't say it, it would not necessarily be what's the best.
Well, because we still have to ask. The point of Tefillah is that we should realize what we need from Hashem. Okay. And also, I mean, you have the whole concept that it talks about chassidus, that our tefillah changes Hashem's rotten, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So when we ask, actually, ben echaseh, then yeah, it creates that rotten by Hashem. Okay. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yeshua, remember, Rabbi Yeshua says, now in the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Yeshua saying the Loshen, Hashem Asamcha. So one possibility is that maybe there's a different gear set over here. Maybe it's supposed to be Rabbi Yossi. Or maybe, in fact, Hagoris Hagro takes out this line altogether of Rabbi Yeshua over here. And another possibility is that maybe the Tzlach brings up a possibility. Everybody else says that this Braisa is arguing with Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, and therefore we would have to say there are two Tanoim who argued what Rabbi Yeshua says. The Tzlach says maybe not. Maybe there's a difference between Mokam Sakona in general versus specifically Mokam Gdudei Chayev Alistim. Maybe for general Mokam Sakona, Connor, you say Rabbi Yeshua is Nusach from the Mishnah, but from Mokum Gdudei Chayev Alistim specifically, if there are wild animals or bandits, then you say one of these Nuskois over here. Okay, the halacha is not like that, but anyway. Okay. So Rabbi Yeshua, in Shema Shabbat Amcha Yisrael, Rabbi Yeshua says the Nusach should be listen to the cry of your people Yisrael, va'asei meher bakashotem, and do what they're asking for quickly. Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atila. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, I remember a very similar Nusach. Shema Sakas Amcha Yisrael, listen to the screams of your people Yisrael, va'asei meher bakashotem, and do their what they want quickly. Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atila. So it's basically the same Nusach. The difference is Rashi says that Shabbat, the cry implies more of a moaning, more of a groaning than tefillah. So Marsha points out, apparently Rashi had a gear there in Rabbi Yeshua's. It wasn't Sakas, it was tefillah samcha Yisrael. So Rabbi Yeshua's is Shabbos, the cry, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok is using the expression tefillah. So Marsha says maybe it could be that, could be the other way around. Maybe Tzaka is more than Shabbos, whatever. Different nuances over there. I mean, you notice also Rabbi Yeshua uses Shabbat, which has a shin, like in his name, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok uses Tzaka. So maybe that's something to do, I don't know. Okay. Right, that's where we haven't gotten that yet. Hold on. Acherim, which usually means your mayor, says, here's the Nusach, Sorche Amcha Yisrael Merubim, the needs of your Jewish people are great, the Daitam Tzara, and their mind is small, meaning that they don't know how to ask for what they need. Now, what were you going to say, Yaakov?
Like Rashi said, they don't know how to ask.
They don't know how to ask.
Right. Not, people speak any language they can understand. Maybe that's what it means. They don't realize that it's actually good for them what they get.
There is that. And also, actually, it talks about chassidus. The idea is also, because daitam ktsara, because we're clean kepledik and we don't really know what really, therefore, we feel merubim tzorche. We feel that we have so many different needs. Whereas if we had a daitam, if we had a das rechava, if we had a das closer to what Hashem, to Hashem, then we would realize that there's not merubim, if anything, it's not many different needs. It says it's one basic need. Yeah. But like this, we you have there's a famous maimer from the Rebbe Maharash that begins Mayim Rabim, and there's many other maimer chassidus based on it that talk about how Mayim Rabim is the troubles of making parnasa. They're like tremendous, strong, powerful currents of water that are going to sweep us away. So it relates to this. Merubim tzorchei amcha b'daitam ktsara, that a person has a daf ktsara, and therefore they feel like they have all these merubim tzorchei. They have all these needs. By the way, the piyut that we say it in slichos of Erev Rosh Hashanah, we say it in Ne'ilah, merubim tzorchei amcha, the nusach, that comes directly from this nusach. Anyway. May it be your will, Hashem Elokeinu, that you should give each person what he needs for his panasa, and each body you should give what it's lacking. Hagoyis Agro also adds a line which we have in Shulchan Aruch, the same line as before, do what's good in your eyes. Baruch Atah Hashem Shemeach Tila. Griya, Griya means everybody. Amr Rav Huna halacha ka'achirim, so Rav Huna says halacha is like ka'achirim, that's the nusach to say, it's merubim tzorcheyam, tzorcheyam ka'yisroel merubim. So that's the nusach. We'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what are the situations when you say habinenu versus when you say the tzorcheyam ka'merubim. So that's the nusach.
This is obviously shorter.
Well, yeah. So that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So that's the nusach to say, not the nusach that we had in the Mishnah Hoshah Hashem Es Amcha, not any of the nuschos that we had here from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shur and whatever, but this nusach of Achim.
Against
the Mishnah. So that's what I was saying. Flach, the Noda Yehuda, he argues that maybe that's not what it means. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about in general when you're in a Makom Sakana versus this braisa over here, including Achirim, is talking about specifically when you're in a place of wild animals or bandits. However, the halacha is not like in the Rambam, just brings the tzorcheyam kamerubim and not any of the other nuschos, and all the other rishonim and achronim follow suit. So that's the halacha. Okay, so that's that. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll talk also, since we're talking about traveling on the road, we'll get into a short sugya about Tfilas HaDerech. Yeah.
Okay.